be one of our preparation for total consecration. Let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Day 31. Fear nothing. Your first consecration to the Immaculate happened on Calvary, not in the midst of consolation, but in pain and sorrow. It was done by the agonizing Jesus, and it was received by his sorrowful mother. Picture in your mind the scene of Calvary. See how she stands there, strong and courageous, at the foot of the cross, without succumbing to the immensity of suffering that engulfs her. See how she lovingly accepts you as her child, the mother of sorrows herself, triumphant over suffering, becomes your own mother. You therefore have nothing to fear from your own sufferings. With her, you will be able to withstand all of them. It is certain that Satan will seek to attack every soul who wants to approach the Immaculate, and he will lie in wait for her heel, that is, her children, trying to strike at them, to separate them from her. She allows this only to more clearly manifest her power in you. Although Satan will try to create storms outside and inside of you to sink you into discouragement and despair, though he will try to make you feel like you cannot endure, if you remain united to her, all of this will come to no avail. His defeat is sure. Your victory, certain. The words of Scripture will always be true. She will crush his head. When you become hers, the Immaculate will not spare you a share in her own great sufferings. You will receive crosses, but do not be afraid of them. Those who are consecrated to Our Lady carry their crosses with greater ease and gain more merit and glory. What could easily stop another person's progress or even bring about his downfall will not stop you at all, but will even help you on your way, because this good mother will sweeten all the crosses she prepares for you in the honey of her maternal goodness and the unction of pure love. Though your crosses might be very heavy, when you receive them from her hands, you will be able to carry them with joy. You must carefully remember that. Without her, you will never be able to carry your crosses, not even the lightest ones. But with her, you will have the strength to carry all of them, even the heaviest. Without a trusting devotion to the Immaculate, who is the very sweetness of the cross, even the lightest crosses will become unbearable to you. Whereas with her, you will not be overwhelmed by even the biggest ones. Our Lord still speaks to your heart these same words of consecration and beckons you to make the response yourself, on your own, of your own free will. Behold your mother, he says to you. Do not be afraid of my cross. With her you will carry it faithfully, and you will be victorious over suffering. You will see Our Lady's astounding victories in your life if you let her guide you and do not pull back. Fear nothing and stay close to her. Let her carry you in her arms wherever she leads, even in the midst of the fiercest battles. She will always conquer because she is always victorious. Let us now turn to page 85 for our daily prayers. If you can, please kneel down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Act of adoration of the Most Holy Trinity. I adore you, our Heavenly Father, because you have deigned to place in the most pure womb of Mary your only begotten Son. I adore you, O Son of God, because you condescended to enter the womb of Mary and became truly her actual Son. I adore you, O Holy Spirit, because you deigned to form in her immaculate womb the body of the Son of God. I adore you, O Most Holy Trinity, O one God in the Holy Trinity, for having exalted the Immaculate in such a divine way. And I will never cease daily, from the first moment I awake, to adore you most humbly, O Divine Trinity, with my face to the ground, repeating three times. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Renewal of baptismal promises. I reject sin, so as to live in the freedom of God's children. I reject the glamour of evil, and refuse to be mastered by sin. I reject Satan, Father and Prince of Darkness. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, was crucified, died, and was buried, rose from the dead, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you, and for all who do not have recourse to you, especially for the enemies of the Holy Church and those recommended to you. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that concludes our preparation for day 31. I've said it several times. The purpose of Marian consecration is for Mary to make us like Christ. But part of that process is becoming more and more sinless. The number one place to remove our sins, the number one place where we encounter the mercy of God, where the power of the crucifixion is unleashed, is in the sacrament of confession. But if that's true, that means the devil hates confession. And so he will whisper lies to us to keep us from making the sacrament a fruitful part of our life. So I'm going to go through several lies that the devil tells those who are new to Catholicism and those who have been in the church for a very long time and might not know. So let's begin to break down these lies of the devil by the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The first lie that the devil tells is, why do you have to confess your sins to a priest? Didn't Jesus die on the cross for your sins? Why do you have to confess to some other man who's got sins of his own? I agree, Jesus did die on the cross for my sins, but after he died on the cross, 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And then, while the apostles were behind locked doors, Jesus appeared in the room and said to them in John chapter 20, verses 21, 22, and 23. It's very simple to remember. He said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." The Father sent Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and now Jesus is sending the apostles for the forgiveness of sins. And with that, he breathed on them. So our Lord is going like this. Very personal, very intimate. This is a call back to the book of Genesis, when God the Father makes man out of clay and breathes life. After he breathes on them, he says this, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you do not forgive, they are not forgiven." This is the institution of the sacrament of confession. Later in James chapter 5, verse 16, James says, "Confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed." Where in the Bible does it say it? John chapter 20, verses 21 through 23, James chapter 5, verse 16. The second lie the devil tells, he whispers to those who have committed shameful acts, grave sins that you look back and you say, "Oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed. I cannot believe I did that." You're so ashamed, you don't even want to utter the word, let alone tell a priest. He's going to judge you. He's going to punish you. He's going to yell at you. He's going to cast you out and say, "Who are you to come over here asking for God's mercy?" That is a lie from hell. The entire purpose of the sacrament of confession is not to punish you, but it's to free you from punishment. And so what I would like for you to do is right now, what is that thing that you're so embarrassed, so ashamed of, that you don't even want to say it out loud? Think of what that is. And now imagine being in the confessional. Behind the screen, you don't even see the priest. You tell him, you get this burden off of your chest, and instead of punishment, he utters the most beautiful words. "Through the ministry of the church, may God grant you pardon and peace, and I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Your sins are forgiven. You may go in peace." And like that, the chains are broken and freedom is felt, and the mercy of God flows over your soul, and nobody remembers those sins anymore. Not in heaven, not in hell, those sins do not exist in the mind or the heart of God. Another lie the devil tells us, if we're going to go to confession, the devil doesn't want us to make a good confession. You must examine your conscience. Your conscience is like a compass. So when you sin, you're telling your compass that, you know, this isn't so bad. Your compass is malformed. So after a while, you forget that this is even wrong. You just keep doing it over and over and over again. So you got to look at a good examination of conscience. I will link one in the description that is specifically grave matter, because I don't like examinations of conscience where there's grave matter right next to something exceptionally light. Why are you putting that next to the mortal sins? Okay, so I have one that's just grave matter. But also, when you examine your conscience, you pray to Our Lady, Blessed Mother, help me to make a good examination. You go through an examination, but I also want you to examine three other areas of your life that are often forgotten. And these are your vocational areas of your life. How is my relationship with God, with Jesus, with the Virgin Mary? How's my prayer life been? Examine that part. How's my relationship with my family? Am I always snapping? Am I always like getting angry unnecessarily? Am I patient? Am I helpful? And then also, what is your relationship like at work? Are you wasting a lot of time? Are you stealing little things, little pencils, little paper clips that don't belong to you? I know this sounds like, what? That's a sin? Yeah, allow Our Lady to perfect you. But part of that perfection is her saying, hey, you're messing up a lot in this one little area. Think about it. Focus on it. And this is the most important. When you're going to confession, this is where the devil wants to grab your tongue. So I encourage you, while you're in line for confession, consecrate your confession to the sorrowful and immaculate heart of Mary. Pray a few Hail Marys while you're in line for confession, because so many people will get struck with anxiety, get up and leave the confessional. Or they'll go into the confessional and they'll lie or they'll hide something from the priest. So ask Our Lady, Blessed Mother, be here with me. Before you even get into the line or while you're in the line, get on your knees and say, Lord, these are my sins, and confess them directly to God. So that when you get into the confessional, it's a mere formality. It's not like you're just showing your heart to God for the first time. You've shown Him your heart, and now you're going through with what He wants. You're going through with a sacramental reconciliation so that you may go from death to life. So ask Our Lady to be with you while you're in line for confession. Confess directly to God before you get up there so that it's off of your chest. You've examined it. You've talked about it. It's nothing hidden that you're also having to expose. So important in the confessional, if you have mortal sin, I hope you have no mortal sin, but I know some of you have mortal sin. If you have mortal sin, you must confess the mortal sin in kind and in number. What was it and how many times? It is not necessary to give an entire story unless the circumstance makes it worse. Your confession should not last that long. You don't need to say, there I was, it was a dark and rainy night, and I was all home alone, and I noticed that the computer light was glowing. Now, we don't need the story. Just say, I looked at bad things on the internet this many times. Okay. In kind and in number, to the best of your ability, do not lie. To knowingly and willingly leave out grave matter or lie about the number of the sins you've committed on purpose is a grave sin of sacrilege, and none of your sins are forgiven. And you'll have to confess later. Say, Father, forgive me for I've sinned. I went to confession last week and I lied in the confessional. So please forgive me for a sacrilegious confession. And then you have to list all the sins you committed last time that you did not get absolution for. It's just a mess. It's just a mess. So I encourage you, when you go to confession, if you have grave sin, I hope you don't, get it out first. Get the most embarrassing things out first and get it out to the best of your ability in kind and number. Pause. If you forget or through no fault of your own, you leave something out, you did not purposely do it. If that happens, just mention it the next time you go to confession. If you do not have mortal sin, and this is so important, we're going to talk about this again in a moment, because this is one of the final attacks of the devil on the confessional. If you do not have mortal sin, you are still strongly, strongly encouraged to go to confession on a regular basis. Now, this is my pro tip for you, because I've been going to confession every single week for several years. So I'm going to give you a pro tip if you want to go from good to better. If you have no mortal sin, don't just mention your predominant venial sins as a clump. To the best of your ability, try to give your predominant venial sins in kind and in number. It's not necessary, but let's say, for example, you lost your temper with your children, and you say, and I'm always losing my temper with my children. Well, How much better would that be if you actually kept track of how many times you lost your temper with your children? And in this way, you are able to make progress. Now, I should mention, this is one of the beauties. This is why it's so important to go to confession. The fruit of confession is, yes, the forgiveness of my sins, removal of temporal punishment due to sin, but also I receive the grace to sin no more. I become strengthened to overcome these bad habits, and especially if I'm very careful about listing them. It's not necessary, but I strongly encourage it. Also, if you're struggling with big mortal sins, one more pro tip. Let's say, for example, you have the grave sin of looking at pornography and committing solitary acts. You know what I'm saying? Yes? Okay, what led you there? When you begin to cut off the problem at the root, so when you go back, you will notice that it is venial sins, deliberate venial sins, that lead to mortal sin. So we're going to cut mortal sin out of our life by cutting out deliberate venial sins that led me down a path to hell, a path that we know always leads us astray. So if it begins with taking a second glance at a woman who's dressed immodestly, in the confessional, keep track and begin to confess, I took a second glance at a woman who is dressed immodestly, I did it 10 times. When you begin to attack this, you end up not jumping off the cliff because you're cutting it off at getting in the car and driving towards the cliff, if you know what I mean. We get it. The devil doesn't want me to go to confession. He doesn't want me to make a good confession. But what he also doesn't want me to do is he doesn't want me to make a regular confession. How often should you go to confession? In the last video, I mentioned that Our Lady of Fatima, asking for the first Saturday devotion, she said, hey, come at least once a month. You come once a month on Saturday or sometime near the first of the month. This is Our Lady being brilliant because she knows she's got to get you on a schedule. And the only way to get you on the schedule is to bribe you with your eternal salvation. So I'm going to read you a quote from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 1458. Without being strictly necessary, confession of everyday faults, venial sins, is nevertheless strongly recommended by the Church. Indeed, the regular confession of our venial sins helps us form our conscience, fight against evil tendencies, lets ourselves be healed by Christ, and progress in the life of the Spirit. By receiving more frequently through this sacrament the gift of the Father's mercy, we are spurred to be merciful as He is merciful. So the Church strongly encourages us, and I could just give you quote after quote from various popes about how the Holy Spirit encourages frequent confession, even of everyday venial sins. And the Catechism said, although it's not strictly necessary, because it is true at Mass, all of my venial sins are removed. That is absolutely true. But what doesn't happen when all of my venial sins are removed at Mass? What doesn't happen is a real examination of conscience. What doesn't happen is me having to verbalize to another human being that I was this or I was that or I said this and I lost my temper here. That doesn't happen. And also the priest's advice also doesn't happen. And we as adults, if we go to confession on a regular basis, I want to give you a pro tip. Take your children to confession on a regular basis. You will marvel at the difference in their spiritual lives. If you have the habit of taking your children to confession when they're 7, when they're 8, when they're 9, when they're 10, and maybe they go once a month, maybe they go once every 2 weeks, when they're in high school and they are facing real, serious temptations to grave matter sins, they will have the habit of receiving the mercy of God in the confessional. And you and I both know from experience, if you've been there, that there is no greater peace that you can feel than when God Himself forgives you through the minister of the sacrament of confession. And when you feel this peace that surpasses all understanding, you're not going to go to another religion, because another religion doesn't have that great peace to hear these beautiful words. I'll repeat them to you one last time. Through the ministry of the Church, may God grant you pardon and peace, and I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you, in consultation with Mary, in prayer, when are you going to go to confession? You need a regular schedule of when you're going to go. Is it the first of every month? Is it the first Friday, the first Saturday? Are you going to go every other Monday? You need to figure it out if you're going to take your consecration very seriously, because in order to grow in holiness, you got to start cutting out sin. God bless you. God love you. And we will see you tomorrow.